Our first talk is Effects of Establishment Practices and Cultivar Selection on the Traffic Tolerance of Turf-Type Tall Fescue. Presenting is Michael Shelley.
All right, good morning. First, I'd like to thank everyone for attending the first talk of the morning. Today, I'll be presenting my master's work at Penn State University, which focuses on the effects of establishment practices and cultivar selection on the traffic tolerance of turf-type tall fescue athletic fields. Now, excessive traffic on athletic fields is a major cause of turf grass deterioration. Continuous use on Pennsylvania fields is most heavily concentrated during the fall and spring seasons due to athletic events and other activities. Now, this continuous use, which is often concentrated on limited turf grass areas, causes the most severe turf grass loss. Turf grass loss causes athletic fields to lose their aesthetic appeal and imposes an increased injury risk for athletes. Now, athletic field renovation is often then necessary to restore these aesthetics and playability on the field. Now, owing to stringent fall and spring sporting schedules, these fields often need to be renovated in the summer. Summer, however, though, is not the optimum time to establish cool season turf grasses in the summer. Now, athletic field managers have to deal with the heat and a short time schedule to have these fields ready prior to the fall football season, so it would be beneficial if we had a better summer establishment plan set up for athletic field managers to cope with these challenges. Now, in the Northeast, two common cool season turf grass species are used to establish athletic fields. Perennial ryegrass germinates quickly and is often used to overseed heavily used athletic fields, heavily trafficked athletic fields. Athletic fields renovated and established with perennial ryegrass can often be used within 2 months after seeding. However, perennial ryegrass has its limitations. It has a low heat tolerance and is susceptible to multiple turf grass diseases. Now, tall fescue can also be used on athletic fields in the Northeast. Once it forms its mature turf grass canopy, it typically is known to have a more traffic tolerance than perennial ryegrass. Now, once these turf grass tall fescue fields have their full canopy, once their turf grass is lost, sometimes they become clumpy, which causes fields to lose their even and smooth playing surface. And historically, tall fescue also has its aesthetic limitations. It has a coarse leaf blade, which is light green in color. Now, with these forage-type tall fescues being aesthetically unappealing, we have newer turf-type tall fescues that are starting to bridge the aesthetic gap between forage-type tall fescue and perennial ryegrass. The newer turf-type tall fescues have a darker green color, have a medium coarse leaf blade, and also have increased density. So this increased density and improved aesthetic characteristics may provide an acceptable alternative to perennial ryegrass for establishing athletic fields. Now, however, we still need to look at the establishment speed for these tall fescue athletic fields. Now, previous studies have shown that specific seeding rates and nitrogen fertilizer regimes can enhance the traffic tolerance of athletic fields when they're established in a short time period. Researchers have shown that it's beneficial to seed above typical seeding rates when establishment periods are short and traffic is initiated shortly after seeding. And other researchers have also shown that there's nitrogen fertility rates that optimize that are optimum for traffic tolerance of specific turf grass species. However, limited research exists that incorporates seed and nitrogen combinations for tall fescue athletic fields in the summer. So the objectives of our study were to evaluate the influence of 4 seeding rates and 3 nitrogen regimes on the traffic tolerance of turf-type tall fescue after varying establishment times during the summer. Second, to determine if nitrogen and seeding rates influence tall fescue plant characteristics that may enhance traffic tolerance. And lastly, to evaluate the traffic tolerance of 11 tall fescue cultivars and determine if specific characteristics are correlated to traffic tolerance 10 and 14 weeks after seeding. But for the purpose of today's talk, we're just going to focus on the top 2 objectives. Now, renovation of our study began on April 20th, 2010. And to minimize weed seed germination, especially Poa annua, we applied Basima G at the label rate of 505 kilograms of product per acre. The The plots were then immediately tarped for 1 week, followed by tarps being removed for 2 weeks. And then the plots prior to seeding were core aerified and verticut in four directions. For the study, we chose four seeding rates that represented typical seeding rates and above typical seeding rates for tall fescue athletic fields, 294, 490, 686, and 882 kilograms of seed per hectare. And we also designed our nitrogen regime to find that optimum fertility rate of nitrogen for heavily trafficked tall fescue athletic fields. We applied three nitrogen regimes of either 0, 122.5, or 245 kilograms of N per hectare applied as ammonium sulfate. And then our seed and nitrogen treatments were randomized in a factorial arrangement. Now, it's important to note that although our low nitrogen regime received no nitrogen from ammonium sulfate, that when Basimid G is applied, it does release nitrogen. And to characterize this nitrogen release, we did a side study where we established plots 294 kilograms of seed per hectare and applied either 49, 98, or 147 kilograms of N per hectare. And after taking some clipping yields, we determined that the Basimid G release about 98 kilograms N per hectare to our entire main study. Now, once all plots reached 100% turf grass cover, we began our ammonium sulfate applications. In July and August, we applied either 0, 49, or 73.5 kilograms of N per hectare. In September, we applied either 0, 24.5, or 49. And in October, we applied 0, 0, or 49 kilograms of N per hectare. And this gave us a low, medium, and nitrogen regime for the entire study of either 0, 122.5, or 245 kilograms of N per hectare from ammonium sulfate. The experimental design for this study was a split plot design with three replications. The area within the blue rectangle represents one replication, with the area between the yellow lines being our split treatment, which represented establishment period. And for these establishment periods, we chose either a no traffic treatment, a 10-week establishment period, or a 14-week establishment period. We then applied our three nitrogen regimes and four seeding rates in a randomized factorial design within each whole plot. So for the entire study, we had three replications with 36 treatments per replication, making for a total of 108 subplots for the entire study. Now, traffic was applied in the study with the Brinkman traffic simulator. Treatments of four passes, three times per week, were applied and were initiated either 10 or 14 weeks after establishment. And these traffic start dates of August 2nd and 30th coincide with the beginning of the football season in Pennsylvania. And the traffic regime was designed to mimic the typical field use that a field would receive in a high school setting. Now, traffic tolerance in our study was evaluated using visual percent ground cover ratings. Ground cover ratings were initiated 1 week after seedling emergence and continued until November 8, 2010. So let's look at the 2010 traffic tolerance results. These results are based off of 1 year's worth of data, while we are currently in the process of collecting year two data. Today we're going to focus on the November 8th rating date, which was our final rating date, which marked the end of our simulated football season. Now, with the establishment main effect, we see significant effects, and then with our seed and nitrogen main treatments, they were insignificant. Now, as expected with the establishment treatment, the 10-week establishment always had less turf grass cover, especially on the November 8th rating date. Now, it's important to remember that the 14-week establishment rate always received less traffic. Traffic on these plots was initiated 4 weeks after the 10-week establishment. Now, also, although the seed and nitrogen main effects were insignificant, our main concern was how these seed and nitrogen combinations interacted when established at different time periods. And as you can see here on our ANOVA table, we have a significant three-way interaction with establishment period, seed, and nitrogen regime. Now, let's take a closer look at that three-way interaction. On the left, you can see the seed and nitrogen rate combinations, and on the right, we have our establishment periods being 10 and 14 weeks. At first, we'll start with the 14-week establishment period. Now, with the 14-week establishment period, the seed rate did not influence percent ground cover at the three nitrogen regimes. However, nitrogen was significant. At each of these seeding rates, the low nitrogen provided the highest percent ground cover at 14 weeks. Now to look and see the three-way interaction going on, we now focus over the 10-week establishment period. And if we focus first on the low seeding rate, we see that the high nitrogen rate provided the highest percent turf grass ground cover, and this is different, it's inverse from the 14-week establishment period. And during the 10-week establishment period, our middle seeding rates were insignificant, while the high seeding rate, we see the same trends that we saw in the 14-week establishment period. Now, other than, besides percent turf grass ground cover, we also want to look at plant characteristics that may help us better understand the traffic tolerance of turf type tall fescue. For the study, we measured 8 traffic tolerant characteristics, plant characteristics, but for the purpose of this talk, we're only going to look at the cell wall constituents, total cell wall content, hemicellulose, and lignocellulose. So after correlating the 8 plant characteristics to ground cover, only hemicellulose and total cell wall content were significant. Now, although they were significant, the correlation coefficients were fairly low, but the relationship still existed. As ground cover increased, hemicellulose and total cell wall content both decreased. And these trends are similar to what we've seen with previous research with Hoffman et al. And Trenholm et al. And previous researchers have hypothesized that the lower total cell wall content allows plants to have a greater flexibility and be able to handle traffic stresses to flex with them a little more. So, in summary, when turf type tall fescue is given 14 weeks to establish, regardless of seeding rate, the lowest nitrogen regime provided the greatest traffic tolerance. When given 10 weeks to establish, traffic tolerance was dependent upon seed and nitrogen rate combinations. Low seed, high nitrogen, and high seed, low nitrogen combinations maximized traffic tolerance. And this is a little different than what we're seeing with previous research with perennial ryegrass. Right now we're seeing that higher seeding rates when traffic's initiated immediately is providing the greatest traffic tolerance, even up as we seed into the very, very high seeding rates. And lastly, all traffic tolerant characteristics were affected by nitrogen regime. However, only total cell wall content and hemicellulose were correlated to traffic tolerance. So in conclusion, turf-type tall fescue is a viable option to establish high school athletic fields in the summer if adequate irrigation is available during the growing period. Athletic field managers should limit field use as long as possible to maximize the success of the field at the end of the playing season. And finally, if only 10 weeks are available before use, resources should be allocated towards more seed and lower N fertility or less seed with higher N. So with that, I'd like to thank the Center for Sports Surface Research, specifically Mr. Tom Sorrentis and Diane Petrunic, my committee members, Dr. Andrew McNitt, Dr. Peter Lanscoot, and Dr. Michael Fidanza, the professional organizations, the Pennsylvania Turfgrass Council, and the Keystone Athletic Field Manager Organizations, the crew at Valentine Turfgrass Research Center, and our seed contributor for this specific study, Scott's Professional Seed. I'll take any questions if you have any. The phosphorus, we didn't apply any P as a starter. We took some we took soil tests prior to, and we were in the adequate range for phosphorus. The pH was around neutral, it's 6.9. It's kind of with that hemicellulose and total cell wall content thing. We're really, really thinking that because there was that lower total cell wall content, that we got that more of the flex from the plant, and they were just more mature. Back up front.
Did you do the tissue
nitrogen concentrations will be done in the future. We're currently in the process, but that data has not been process yet.
Time for one more question.
Okay. Thank you.